I talk to my brother a lot, obviously. I talk to most of my friends in life are coaches, whether they be in college football or pro football or high school football. It's a big reason I came back. I missed it. And I got a lot to prove, I know that. But fortunately, somebody gave me an opportunity, and I plan on doing something with it. Yeah. Well, I had a great job to help me with that. I got about as close to the fire as I could get without getting burned. I had a lot of players and coaches coming to my offices in Tampa year-round. I would go to training camps and practices, and as an analyst, got to go to all the games, obviously, see the home team practice, meet all the coaches and players, and study the tapes. So I never really got too far away from it, but got to do the Gruden's QB camp, where I was actually coaching some of the young prospects. Got to prepare for the draft. I was responsible for the top 150 players. So anyhow, I've always been close to it, but there's nothing like being in the fire. Well, we'll see when the season, you know, you miss the season. Yeah, you miss training camp. You miss being on the field. That's why I'm anxious for April 9th to come around, because I can actually talk to a player without breaking a rule. Well, it starts with your coaching staff. You know, you got to hire, I think, the right coaches that can not only convey the message, but that can teach. And in our last three draft choice classes, our last three classes, we got to get more production from those guys. It's one of the reasons why we were so active in free agency. There's a lot of unknown right now. We need Conley to come back and be a corner for us. Jihad Ward, Obi Melifonwu, these are second-round draft choices. I have not seen them on tape very much. You know, we need to see where they are fast. But these last three groups of our draft got to be ready to roll on April 9th. And if they aren't, then we're going to obviously have some competition for them.
John, how do you balance that, especially as a new coach coming in terms of developing your young players, but also supplementing for free agency, but not stunting their development because they can't, you know, get up?
Well, you can only bring in so many players. And, you know, your job, I think, as a coach is to make it competitive. And that's what we're doing at every position. Hopefully, competition heightens everybody's performance. We're not going to ever downplay a young player's development. But you can't wait around forever. You can't save a bad idea forever. And I think that's the message that we're going to stick to, and we're anxious to see where some of our young players are.
How much of vintage Marshawn did you see in the Marshawn tape you watched the last week?
Well, I broadcast the game on Christmas night. There were some vintage smash hits in that game. But, you know, I think the offense hopefully will allow us to feature him in different ways this year. We'll see. But I saw some of it. I'd like to see a lot more of it.
John, you mentioned earlier that Amari kind of reminded you of a young Tim Brown. And then you kind of look at the roster, the way it's being comprised right now. It seems like you really are trying to go back to 1998 when you look at
You're blowing that thing out of, you know. I mean, you guys are having a lot of fun with that. I mean, yeah. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. I re-signed a blocking tight end that was on the team the last 3 years.
Right.
You know, I brought in a fullback, but I also traded our fullback. So I don't know where we're taking that 1998 quote. But what we did in 1998 is we brought in a lot of veteran free agents at the beginning that were tough guys, that were leaders of their position, guys like Anthony Newman and Richard Harvey and Elijah Alexander and Eric Allen, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to bring in a work ethic like 1998, and I'm excited about it. We got Jared Cook now. He's a great receiving tight end. And we're going to use, you know, if you watch Philadelphia play, they just won the Super Bowl. They use three tight ends a lot. And they drove defenses crazy, and sorry about that, but I like tight ends. They create a lot of unpredictability. Kansas City Chiefs are in our division. They use three tight ends, and they drive people crazy. It's a great package to have. You can close people out in a four-minute drill, run out the clock. You can hand the ball off on the goal line. There's some great play actions, and I don't think I'm a heck of a lot different than Doug Peterson and Andy Reid that way. I like tight ends, and They're hard to find nowadays because they're not being produced in college football like they once were. So sometimes you got to find them in free agency. Everybody's playing a spread. You know, they don't play in line very much. They're in the slot, or teams are using four wide receivers and one back. So they're just not in-line blockers like they used to be. There are some, but they're hard to find.
Soon enough, you want to familiarize yourself with the personalities of the players in your locker room when you get to meet these guys.
Would be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Right now, you have a chance to, this is less fun, familiarize yourself with the CBA. How much of a comfort do you have with just the rules and with that, a sense of how you can make the most of the time you're allotted?
I'm comfortable with it. I've been well aware of what the rules are. I've had players come and visit me because they can't get into their own facility. So the most important thing that we're going to try to do as a coaching staff is have the best meetings in football. And I think to do that, you got to prepare harder for your meetings than you ever did before. If you can have 1 hour, it better be 3 hours of content. You just can't go in there and tell stories and have a good time. And when you're on the practice field, if it's 2 hours or if it's an hour and 56 minutes, every second has to be allotted for. You got to move around from drill to drill. The players want that. They want, I think, discipline on the field. They want organization. And I think it all starts with your coaching staff. And unfortunately, we've hired some really good people.
Coach, you've been behind enemy lines the last 9 years and got a unique perspective with 31 other organizations. What kind of advantage is that going to be the second time you've been
there? It's if you win games. You know, it's been obviously eye-opening to see some of the things that I've been able to see, some of the frustrations that coaches have, some of the facilities that teams have put in. It's been a great, I think, tool, but it doesn't guarantee it wins. You know, it just heightens your imagination, gives you some thoughts maybe that other people don't have. I remember when I was coaching the Raiders, I always wondered what Marty Schottenheimer was saying to his team, what his facility looked like, and now I know. So hopefully it'll help us in the strength and conditioning world. We can add a machine here or there. Maybe we can upgrade a facility. Maybe we can put a drill in that I saw in Green Bay. Knowledge is a powerful thing, and I've always tried to accumulate as much knowledge as I can, and hopefully it's a tool.
What would it be?
I just try to keep the game as much the same as it has been. You know, I don't like a lot of these new rules. I don't understand them. It's getting awful technical. I'd like to eliminate instant replay, honestly. That'd be my number one thing.
Yeah.
Let the officials call the game. And that's just my opinion. I try not to play that game a wish list. You know what I mean?
We've been beating TV and having access to all those slow-mo replays.
I think slow-mo replay is the biggest problem with replay. You know, when you're looking at is it a catch or isn't it a catch, at that speed, it's hard to tell. You know, it really is hard to tell. So I think if you threw that slow-mo out, I think you'd get back to common sense. You know, let the naked eye determine some of these calls. But it always looks like pass interference when you're going that slow. It always seems to look a little bit more dramatic in slow motion, and sometimes it's not realistic, I don't think.
Are you encouraged that the catch rule might be improved?
What's up, man?
Hey, Doug.
Good. How can you improve the catch rule? I mean, you know, I don't understand. What is it? Last year was a three-step process. You know, this year I'm anxious to hear how the vote goes. You know, I've dealt with the force out. I've had to learn the three-step process. I played catch a lot in my day. I got a pretty good idea what a catch is. But I still am not quite clear on it yet. We're going to see. You know, we haven't even had a practice yet. I've been a head coach for 70 days. I haven't even met any of my players. I've met these free agents more than I've met my guys. But if you watch Melvin play last year, it was his best season. You know, they did ask him to go with a specific receiver. I saw him go with Antonio Brown at times. He played left. He played right. I've seen him go in a slot. We like him. I really like our secondary coach, Derek Ansley, who we got from Alabama. He's a perfect guy, I think, for Gary and Conley and Rashad Melvin and hopefully some of the young secondary people that we bring in here. You come in, you don't get out, man. You have the magical powers of recruiting, you know. You know, it's been tough, you know, free agency. Sometimes you want to go after door number one, but you don't have the resources to do that. And, you know, we didn't feel like we needed to bring in three players. We felt like we needed to bring in a lot of players. We had a lot of needs. And I think we said that in Indianapolis. Our secondary was decimated. You know, our linebacking core, we didn't have any numbers. Two of our defensive linemen were free agents. We had a lot of issues. And we tried to bring in a lot of players, and our success rate was pretty good when we got them in the building.
John, how strange or how fun has it been to walk those same halls?
Yeah, it's been great.
15 years later, I mean, just to walk around, and does it feel the same as it did before? Does it feel a little upgraded?
Feels strange. Yeah. You know, it really does. It's seeing Willie Brown and some of the employees that are still there when I was there before. It's like deja vu. But great responsibility. It's a neat story, but I've got to do something with this opportunity. We've had one winning season in the last 14 years. That's something we got to address. Yeah, it has. But, you know, it's a struggle. This league is a struggle. And it's tough to win a game. You know,
is it harder to win the game now?
I think it's tough. You know, I think it's very tough. You know, the preparation's different. You don't have as much time. And I know it sounds like a whining song that I'm singing, but, you know, you don't have as much continuity on the roster. Coaching staffs are evolving around, you know, around the league. So it's tough. You don't have the same group together for very long. The character? I think the polish is different. You know, a lot of these guys don't participate in spring practice. A lot of these guys, they just haven't had the amount of practices. And they're three-year juniors or third-year sophomores instead of fifth-year seniors. So when the body of work is incomplete, you're not quite getting the polished product maybe that we had several years ago. Don't get me wrong now, there's a lot of talented guys. And you got to adapt to that, and you got to fast track some of these guys because you need them to play fast. When you're on the clock, you know, you're going to base your decisions on a lot of things. But, you know, there's a 19-year-old football player in this draft. It's a hell of a player. We're not going to discriminate against him because he's 19. You're the best player and you fit what we're looking for, we'll take you. But you also have to be, I think, cognizant of what these guys need to get to where they need to go. You got to be realistic.
What needs do you see that you have left in your roster
decision? Well, we obviously have needs. You know, I'm not going to sit here and pound the table, say it's one particular area. Obviously, our secondary is an area we're going to continue to look at. Offensive line, offensive tackle is going to be a position that we continue to look at. Wide receiver, we're not done there. I keep going. Inside pass rusher on defense is a priority. Just about every position on the team.
You spoke to Reggie McKenzie yesterday. You talk about the difference between you and the other coaching staff. Does he understand what you want precisely and the coaching staff so that the level of communication is so much better and different than it was in the past? Now, you've given him a huge grocery list and he's went out and got 15 different new players. How has that relation been shifted in from your team?
Well, it's been great. I mean, it's been great. I go way back with Reggie to Tennessee days, Green Bay Packer days. We were brought up by Ron Wolf and Mike Holmgren, similarly. He's a great guy. If you can't get along with Reggie McKenzie, you can't get along with anybody. And I think we both realize that there's an urgency. There's an urgency. Mark Davis, the Oakland Raiders, they want to win. And our job is to improve the roster, improve the product on the field, and do everything we can to do that. And that's what we're doing.
John, you were able to rework Marshawn Lynch's contract a little bit. How much of a priority has been the free agent moves to help Marshawn in the running game?
If you want to run the ball, you have to obviously have some components to do it. Now, don't get me wrong. We're gonna spread the field. We're going to have all the bubble screens and RPOs that everybody else has. But there will be a package that will involve a fullback, will involve a blocking tight end. We might even move an offensive tackle to tight end. But if you look at Marshawn Lynch, and you want to go back to when he was truly a great back, they had Zach Miller at tight end in Seattle. They didn't have Jimmy Graham. They had a blocking tight end. And they had a fullback named Mike Robinson, who was a great escort. And I think for Lynch to run the outside zone, to do some of the things that really allow him to be great, we got to service him better. And I think we have, but we haven't proven that yet. Well, Kirkland did that 2 years ago and did a good job. Now he's in contention for the right tackle job, so we're not going to move tackles to tight ends yet until we solve who our tackles are. Yeah, I think so right now. I think he has familiarity with Cable. I think he has the intangibles that we're looking for. He's tough as hell, this guy. He's tough, man. McKenzie drafted him at Green Bay when he was there. So he has history with Reggie also. And I think his toughness is going to permeate the team. Hopefully it permeates in that room. Hopefully it's something that is contagious around the Raiders.
How would you say the quarterback position has
evolved? Well, they become more CEO-type quarterbacks, doing more at the line of scrimmage than they ever have. I mean, if you watch the championship teams, Tom Brady's getting a lot done at the line of scrimmage. Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, the guys that win it all, they fix problems. They recognize matchups. They get to their own plays, and they have the free rein to do that. And I think that's where the game is going. Hopefully we can take Derek to that level, where we give him a lot of responsibility at the line of scrimmage. And I think that's when he was at his best at Fresno. He even called his own plays. And they averaged 50 points a game. He and Davante Adams, they had the green light to go to work whenever they felt the need to. And I think that's something we got to empower Derek to do. We're just making predictions here. You know, and it's really not how far away he is. If you're going to let your quarterback play like that, the offense has to play like that. If you're a left guard, you got a running play called, and I change it to a pass, you got to be able to think quick and react and change your assignment. If you're a wide receiver and you get a hand signal late, you got to change your feet, you got to change your route, and you got to win. And not a lot of people can play like that. So it's a challenge not just to get Derek to that level, it's a challenge to get everybody to that level. I hope so. I think that's the thing with Marshawn Lynch and having a running game is you don't just have to hand it off. You know, sometimes the best play is faking it to them, throwing it over their head. You know, if you want to have a strong play action attack, you need to have a tight end that can pass protect. That's what's a lost art. You know, if you want to turn your back to the defense like Peyton Manning used to, you better have a tight end in there that can pass protect. And fortunately, I think Lee Smith can do that. And if we can get the running game going, I think we'll have a good play action attack.
And then Doug Martin also has helped with that. What do you see in Doug?
I met with Doug in Florida after he was released. And Doug came to us for almost nothing. You know, he's got Oakland ties, which is important to me, Bay Area ties. And he's a hell of a player if he's right now. So April 9th, we put him in our system, and we see where we can take him. I've seen this guy be dominant. I saw him in Oakland, California one day run for about 250 yards. And I know he averaged 2.9, and a lot of the statisticians out there have been on me about that. But what you haven't seen is all the film. You know, this guy's a hell of a player. And if we can get him right, it'll be interesting. But we have a lot to prove, Doug Martin and I. And, again, it was not a huge contract. He's obviously, I think, telling the people in NFL something. He wants another shot, and he's willing to pay a price.
Hey, Coach, is Jordy Nelson the modern Joe Jaravicious?
I don't know. There's only, you know, Jordy Nelson's comes in here with quite a resume. And we just got to get him acclimated to our system, and hopefully he finds a house where he and his wife and kids are happy. That's all I'm worried about right now.
If Doug Martin is right, John, and like you talked about earlier, kind of imparting your plan here, is it kind of been like Marshawn and Doug are kind of like Tyrone Wheatley and Napoleon Kaufman with that?
I like to use a lot of personnel groupings.
Yeah.
You know, two backs. It might be, you might see Marshawn and Doug in the game together. You know, then you might see DeAndre and Jalen in there together. If you watch Philadelphia Eagles play, you know, they had Smallwood. They had Sproles as the season started. And then you see Ajayi. Then you forget there's LeGarrette Blount. Then you say, who the hell's Corey Clement? You know, they used five different backs, and they used them intelligently, and they were a handful to deal with. And that's what I have done in the past. We had the Hammer in Tampa and Allstott. You know, we had Cadillac Williams and Work Done. We used a lot of different runners, Michael Pittman. Not just to carry the ball, but to detach. You look at New England, they have backs that can detach and win in space against linebackers and safeties. And that's an area that we want to see Doug Martin and our younger halfbacks excel at in the passing game. But we got a lot to prove yet, but you know, you want to have a core group of tight ends, backs, and receivers, and you want to be able to adapt on a weekly basis. What's the best matchup? What do they struggle with on defense? Do they struggle with four wides? Do they struggle with three tight ends? And we got to try to take advantage of those matchups, but you got to have the personnel to do it. And fortunately, we haven't even had a draft pick yet. We can still add some more players because we need them.
Last year, from a return game standpoint, obviously, Cordero was a guy, a kick returner. He's no longer in the picture. Jalen Richard, he was at punt returner. Struggled with some ball security at some points in the year. Where do those respective positions stand at this point in the year, and do you foresee perhaps additional competition being added in the draft?
Well, I think getting Rich Bisacci, our special teams coach, is huge. He was my special teams coach in Tampa. We pulled him out of Dallas. It was a fight. And we're prioritizing special teams. I mean, we just signed a long snapper. Kyle Wilbur's a name that Raider fans are going to love. No one wants to talk about Kyle Wilbur. Nobody wants to talk about him. But he's a hell of a special teams player now. And I foresee him being a captain of our special teams. I really do. A couple years ago when the Raiders were in the playoffs, I broadcast a game. They had Trodwick. They had a guy named Holmes. They had another guy named Bates. And they did a great job on special teams. And forget the returner for a minute. You got to block for your kicker. You got to cover these kicks. And I think getting Keith Smith, you know, getting Carricker, the tight ends, fullbacks, running backs, they got to play on teams. But we're looking for a returner. And that's an area that we're going to continue to look for. Patterson was excellent, no doubt. Who, Derek?
Derek or any quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, just studying the tape. You know, Carr sees it field well, no doubt. He'll see it better if we block better. You know, our pass protection is good at times. It's got to be better at others. So that's an area we'll continue to work on. But I think Derek sees the field great. I'm anxious to work with the other quarterbacks, see where Connor Cook is, and E.J. Manuel, Josh Johnson.
Josh Johnson, just as you remember him?
Oakland Raider. He's got Oakland ties. You know, I'm bringing it in. If you're from Oakland, you got a chance to sign with the Raiders. I got Doug Martin. I got Josh Johnson. I got Marshawn Lynch, Oakland's finest. And
Josh Johnson have a single to the idea of using more read option?
No, not really. You know, Josh was coached by Greg Olson, our offensive coordinator. Josh was coached by my brother after I had him. So hopefully he got better after I tried to screw him up, you know. But he'll compete. He knows our stuff, and he'll be able to call plays, and he'll be able to execute plays, and he'll compete for the backup job. And right now it's wide open.
Do you anticipate a pretty even split with Marshawn and Doug in terms of carries?
I don't have an imagination for that right now. I'm just going to see how it goes. You know, we're going to see how it goes. What we want to do, where is Doug Martin? You know, we'll see. We don't want to make a lot of predictions today, but if he's right, we'll find something for him to do.
Rich, as you mentioned, he's one hell of a special teams coordinator, highly regarded in the league. I'm sure the Cowboys would have loved to keep him. How did you win that fight? What was that like in terms of getting one
I had to fight for all these coaches. You know, I mean, I had to fight for all of them. I mean, they got, you know, they all have agents now. All these coaches have agents, too. And I had to compete to hire every one of our coaches. Every one of them was sought after. It was a grind. But once we get you in the building, as I said earlier, these magic whooping up. I think Bisaccia, you know, and I work together. We won a championship together and have very similar backgrounds, and we're very close. I'm not saying that's why he came, but I think the Raiders, the excitement around what we're trying to do here, just the brand of the Oakland Raiders was a great, great sales point for all these coaches. It's a cool team to do it.
You got
to
be high on his running ability.
Yeah. Yeah. He's an athlete. He hasn't got a lot of film. I saw him play last year. I broadcast a game last year, Giants against the Browns, where he was competing for the backup job. He didn't win it. But that's about all I have right now.
He's a proud favorite, too, as I heard.
What's that?
He's a proud favorite.
Was he? Great. That's great.
What else do you remember about Derek the first time you
met him? I met him at our quarterback show in Tampa. And I remember Frank Caliendo was there. That's what I remember. It was fun. We had a fun day. He put on a passing display that very few guys have put on. I mean, he was unbelievable. And we have a lot of NFL players that participate in that show. And they would come out and they always watch to see who the next quarterback is. And every one of them was like, that guy can play. And I was shocked he wasn't a first round pick, but he put on a passing display that was eye-opening, for sure.
What?
Yeah. We put GoPros in the bullseye. We had four verticals, so you put the cameras in the bullseye at the seam area, 18 to 20 yards deep on the numbers. And you have a free safety in the middle of the field, and you tell the quarterback to look off the free safety and throw that ball at that target. And most quarterbacks didn't even hit the target. He hit the bullseye in the target, smashed my GoPro, ticked me off. Then he looked the free safety off, and he smashed the other GoPro. And I said, that's a wrap. That's a wrap. That's the greatest show of all time. I'm surprised we didn't win an award for that show. But you know what? He's being around him is, you know, you look forward to being in a room with that guy. He sits like this looking at you. He's really wired into what's happening. He wants to be great. And that's a big lure to me. I feel that in Khalil Mack. When I watch Lynch fight for inches, you know, I want to be a part of that. When I've watched Jordy Nelson play over the years, you know, and I watch Rodney Hudson cover a forward pass, Hudson's my favorite Raider right now. If you ever watch a team throw a pass and a center runs down the field to get a block, that's why he's our Pro Bowl center. And there's a lot of good stuff that we're going to try to accentuate. There's a lot of players that got to pick it up, and it all starts with me.
A big theme that's a little bit different from you this time, guys. We've heard you say a lot of times, it's on me. Even Derek Harvey was surprised when he said on the radio that it failed. It's on you. What does that mean?
I don't know how much clearer I can make it. Yeah, I mean, the pressure's going to be on a quarterback. The pressure's going to be on a head coach when it comes to winning and losing. That's just the way it is today. I just want Derek to just go out and play. I want him to go out and have fun playing. Trust his preparation and just go out and present the game plan and let your talent speak for itself. But showcase your preparation on game day and have some fun. And I think for that to happen, we got to get the right group. We got to get the right group of guys. We got to get them organized the right way. And If we get that done, I'm really confident. If it doesn't work out, you know where the arrow's pointing. It'll point right back at me, and it should.
Oakland ties. What does that mean so much to you as you establish the culture that you want in the locker room?
A big reason I'm here again is I love Oakland. I had a son here in Oakland. It's my first head coaching job. It's my team as a kid growing up. I had Fred Biletnikoff and Willie Brown on my coaching staff. I want to give the Raider fans here in Oakland the best football we can give them. And if it's one of their favorite sons doing it, even better. I say it's even better.
What is Raider football?
That's physical football. It's winning football. You know, I don't know. I don't want to get into all that today. It's too early.
Hey, Coach, defensively, I thought I heard you say at one point that you would use single gapping, not two gap.
No, we're 4-3 up the field, one gap team, much like Cincinnati Bengals were. We just got to find a couple more players that can help us. And, front four in Cincinnati was a key to their success, certainly, with Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap and Michael Johnson and Domantas Peko. And, you know, we've got some pieces in place, but we're still looking to make that group as formidable as possible.
Hey, I'm curious. We ran a variation of two gaps most of the years. Are you going to look at the current personnel with the idea of saying, how are these guys going to work under a single gap, system rather than two gap, particularly interior?
Yeah, we'll look at all of that. We certainly will. And at the same time, we're going to look at what we want to do and what we need to get it done.
Second time around, Mark Davis is the boss. What do you miss most about Al Davis?
Well, I just miss his presence. There's a presence of Al Davis. If you haven't been around him, you have no idea what I'm talking about. You know, he walked out of the locker room on Sunday and he'd point in the black hole. You know, it was just the presence that he had. In the meeting rooms with the coaches, when he talked to players, around the league, he was well respected. You know, he knew the game. He was not an owner just that owned a team. He could come in your office and draw punt protection. He could come in and put in a pass router, pass protection. He knew defensive football. He was a coach of the year in the NFL. So he made you better. That's what I miss, is he made us better. He wasn't afraid to let you know what he wanted done either. Those are things I miss. He helped me big time, thicken my skin, become mentally tougher, and to get a bigger picture of football. And I miss him, certainly.
Great.
Tom, okay, I got Bill Callahan's son. Bill Callahan was a coordinator when I was here, ex-head coach. I got Cable. And sometimes we run the draft meetings or the free agency meetings, and I run them just like Al would. Put them up on the board, a little bit higher. Write a little bit bigger. Put it up there. Lynch, Martin, Richard, Washington. We talk about our backs. Then we put in three or four other backs from around the league. But we imitate them. We have plays in our playbook that'll be named after them. It's pretty cool.
John, the last time you're in the AFC, Patriots run is just starting, not to mention a certain playoff game. The Steelers are playing in the AFC title game. In any way, kind of mind-boggling to think of you still competing against that same coach and quarterback. The Steelers are still, still near the top.
Yeah, it really is.
It's not that different than
sitting in my office watching Tom Brady and Bill Belichick down there. It's kind of eerie, strange to think that those guys are still
17 years later.
It's unbelievable. I had dinner with Charles Woodson the other night, trying to talk Woodson out of retirement. 41 years old. I said, "What the hell? Brady's 41. He's a Michigan Wolverine."
How'd that go?
It was just great seeing him. But we both got a lot of respect, obviously, for the sustained success of the Patriots. I remember when we won the Super Bowl, you realize how hard it is to get there, how hard it is to win that game. But to stay there, sustaining success, I think he's harder than being successful, becoming successful. So I tip my hat to him.
Reggie spoke real highly about the communication that exists from a personnel roster decision standpoint, just the input from all different corners, coaching staff, front office, and it's been an upgrade he feels so far already. What have you experienced in that regard, just the culture of those decisions and with back and forth with Reggie?
I just say we're honest with each other. I think we trust each other. I don't think we care. Could care less who gets the credit. Everybody wants to know who's calling the shots and who made that decision. And I think it's a collaborative effort. We said that from the very beginning. And he's going to do his homework. I'm going to do my homework. We're not always going to agree, but he's got a really good group over there working for him. I've got a good group working for me on my side. And I think when we work together and communicate on a daily basis, it only gets better and better. And after 60 or 70 days, I'm really proud of what we've been able to do.
When you look at the 20 players you guys have added so far, in particular the 16 from other teams, there's some that Gunther coached previously. There's some that Rich coached previously. There's some, and Josh, you coached previously. Greg's coached previously. Is that a testament to it being an organizational thing where you guys are bringing people familiar from different places that you guys have experience with?
Sometimes that's true. Sometimes that's just the way it works out. You know, Jordy Nelson comes over, Edgar Bennett's here. You know, so there's a lot of that. I knew Doug Martin from Tampa. That's why hiring a staff from different places is sometimes a really good thing, because you get intelligence how they did things. You know, what'd they think of him? Was he a good player? How was his work ethic like? And sometimes it helps you in recruiting too.
With Edgar's knowledge of Jordy, you know, some wonder Jordy based on the production or age, what have you. Some like to question, oh, what can he do? But you have probably as good of a person to tell you exactly what Jordy is capable of, any of the film. What did Edgar's opinion mean throughout that process of prioritizing Jordy?
He likes Jordy, obviously. You know, we like Jordy. We're not playing fantasy football right now. I realize his production fell off, but so did Devontae Adams, and so did Randall Cobbs, and so did the Packer offense when Aaron Rodgers went down. I'm not making excuses for anybody, but like I said, we saw Jordy practice, we saw Jordy play. Edgar Bennett has a lot of confidence in him, and so do we. But we got a lot to prove, and we're anxious to do that.
Hey, Coach, you were working on TV the last couple of years when all this protest stuff was going on. Now that you're back on the field, are you hopeful that the league can move forward now and just get the focus back to football? Because it looks like that's what the owners are trying to get.
I hope so. I do. I hope so. I think there's a lot of issues out there, certainly for everybody. Hopefully we can all unite on game day and let's go play football.
I know you've only been coach for 70 days now, but what is your take on the state of the AFC West?
Well, you know, looking at the Chargers, they were as good as most teams in football at the end of last season. They're a problem. They're a problem to block. Ingram and Bosa are a real problem. Their defense, I think, is very underestimated. And when you got Phillip Rivers and an improved offensive line, look out. So I think they're a real problem. And, the Denver Broncos, wasn't long ago they won it all. So there's still a lot of groceries in that closet, I know that. And my friend Andy Reid has got a young quarterback that I don't think he stopped smiling. I think he has a lot of confidence with that young kid they got from Texas Tech. And they've been together a long time, and they got a lot of continuity. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be a challenge, one that we're excited about. You know, your offense is going to be based on what you have. It really is. And right now, I don't really know what we have until we get going. I remember when I was with the Raiders coaching, we had a wide-open offense. We did a lot of stuff with Rich Gannon. I went to Tampa, and we had to morph big time. We had to change into 22 personnel, into a different style of football. We felt like we had to do what we had to do to win. And that's what we're going to do with the Raiders. We're going to adapt to who we have and who we're playing. And I can't really give you much more now until I at least have a couple practices. I got a lot. Adapting to what?
To the new world in the NFL.
I don't know. I mean, I got to prove it. Who are my critics? Does anybody criticize them? You know, I don't know. I mean, you know, you're going to be criticized. I mean, I don't know what you're referring to, but I'm doing the best I can. I'll do the best I can. That's all I'll say. I'm going to try to be wide open. I'm going to try to be more flexible this time. But I got to adapt. You either adapt or die, and I don't plan on dying.
John, what attracted you to Doug Martin, John, and made you target him early?
Well, obviously, we didn't pay him, you know, the $15 million signing bonus. It's not like he took a huge contract. I thought, you know, him coming to play for us at what we signed him at sent a message. You know, I sent a message, hey, I really want to prove I can still play. And I've seen him play great football in Tampa. And there's an old philosophy I learned from Bill Walsh a long time ago. If a player has played great in the league before, there's a chance he can play great again. And Doug Martin's played great football in this league. And he's 29 years old. And, you know, if you can afford it, it's not a huge risk. It's a gamble, I think, that's well worth taking. And I'm anxious to meet him and get to know him.
What have you taken away from your conversations with him, John?
Oh, I think he's got something to prove. I think he needs a new lease on life. I think he needs a new chance. And we're going to try to put him right back into the channel. Oakland, California, Stockton, California, where he grew up. He's got some family and friends out there. And hopefully he likes our offense, and hopefully he gets in great condition. And he returns to health. He's had some injuries, too. So we'll see what happens.
You guys played in London this October. How do you plan on handling that? Some teams approach it differently. Some stay out there a full week. Some matter of a few days. Have you thought about that quite yet?
I think we got to see the schedule, see when that game is. Is it week 5? Is it week 11? Who do we play before? Who do we play after? So, yeah, we've looked at it. But until you get the layout of the schedule, I can't really say much more. But
Years, the past 2 years, though, John, the Raiders have stayed in Florida for a week in between 2 weeks.
Yeah, that was never my thing. When I want to come home, man. I'm like Dorothy in that movie Wizard of Oz. I just want to go home, man. I don't want to live in a hotel and move all our equipment. I want to go home, regroup, and hit the road again. That's been my style. But like you said, I got to be open. I got to be flexible. I got to listen to everybody. You know, do what's best for the team. That's what I want to do.
John, how much of this roster you inherited is sort of still in transition? You made a bunch of trades already. Obviously, you didn't free agency some. Is that, like, coming through free agency, and can you look at it now and say, all right, I think we're kind of set, or is this going to be trades and tinkering kind of thing?
Well, we'll see. I said earlier, we need more out of our draft classes from 2015, 2016, 2017. A lot of those guys have been hurt. A lot of those guys are still a mystery. So we're trying to create competition. We're trying to create some versatility and depth. And the draft will be interesting. We've got a lot of picks. We've got 2 picks in the 5th round, 4 picks in the 6th round. Got a pick in every other round. And trades are a possibility. So we're not done, I don't think. We got a long way to go, I know that.
You're in the fortunate position where you go to a team, you don't have to worry about drafting a quarterback. But when you looked at this class last year, how does the depth compare to recent years? It seems like there's a lot of guys we're talking about that can go.
Pretty interesting. You know, I think it's, you look at Rosen, he didn't even play in the bowl game. He was hurt. I think from a talent standpoint, it's undisputed. But how durable is he? You know, is he a week-to-week dominant quarterback? He's had some great moments. He's also, UCLA has struggled at times. You know, Sam Darnold's an underclassman. He's had great games. He's had some turnovers. Baker Mayfield, a lot of people say he's too damn short. I've heard that with Russell Wilson and a lot of players.
So you don't buy that?
You know, Josh Allen, there's critics of Josh Allen. There's critics on all these guys. And it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
Do you buy the too short thing or no?
I don't. But, you know, hand size, measurables, analytics, they're a big part of this today. So it depends on who the general manager is, who the head coach is, what offense you're running, and what you envision.
But the height thing in particular isn't something that you put a lot of stock.
Well, you like prototype size. You know, you would. But you also want a guy that's a hell of a player. And they come in all shapes and sizes, if you ask me. Well, he's intriguing to me. He's a superb athlete. He can change the game with his feet. And I think if he gets with the right group and they really work on his pocket mechanics and his rhythm from underneath the center and pro-style system, I think 2 or 3 years from now, it could be an awesome, awesome thing.
John,
how are you? What's up, Sal?
What's my little word association? Ready?
Yeah, what's word association.
Derek Carr.
Come on, man. 7 o'clock in the morning.
It's almost 8, John.
I've been a head coach of the Raiders for 70 days. I haven't met any of my players yet. So I'll just say excitement is the word for Derek Carr. He brings a lot of excitement.
Patrick Mahomes.
I don't like Patrick Mahomes anymore. He's flashy, man. He is flashy, no doubt.
An Andy Reid coached football team.
They're diverse. And they're consistent, and they're a problem right now.
What do you think of Case Keenum?
He's a bulldog. He's what you're looking for. He is a tough bulldog quarterback.
John Gruden, head coach 2.0.
We will see. We'll see.
Congratulations.
Thanks,
John.
Man.
Good to see you.
Appreciate it, Sal. Love you, brother.
With the addition of Doug Martin, this is going to be a very competitive, you want this at every position, a very competitive running back group. It might be tough to keep them all, given fullback you're carrying, tight ends you're carrying. What do you see from that group, particularly the bottom end, where Jalen and DeAndre and whoever else you may add to that group will be fighting to make this team?
I don't think they're just running backs. You know, I think Washington and Richard and Martin can be satellites. I think they can play slot. I think they can play outside. I think they can return kicks, cover kicks. So we're not going to limit ourselves how many backs we keep because of the versatility, I think, that they are capable of playing, and we might draft a back too. There's some backs in this draft that I love. So we got a long way to go to solve who makes it, who plays, but Marshawn will be the lead back, and we'll see where Doug Martin is, and we'll have something to do for all our backs.
Congratulations.
Hey, Peter, how's it going, man?
How's life going?
Pretty good, thanks.
Good. My question of the day, John Gruden, Oakland Raiders. Why should the mother in Dubuque, Iowa, allow her son to play football?
It's the greatest game there is. I mean, you learn the greatest lessons in life. You learn how to be physically tough and mentally tough, and you learn about teamwork and accountability and sportsmanship. And I could go on and on and on. It's the greatest game there is. And there are risks, but there's also risks involved in anything. So, live in your hopes, not in your fears. If your kid wants to play, let him play and support him, and he'll get some of the great benefits in the world by playing this game. I believe that.
Thank you.
Yeah, man.
Good luck.
Thanks, brother. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Coach, on the lighter side of things, you wake up one morning, you've been traded for 2 seconds, and 8-9.
Yeah. I would have traded me for a bag of donuts. You know, but a long time ago, that's for sure.
John, what's your take on Colin Kaepernick? him still being out there and his suit against the NFL and being unemployed?
You know, I think it's there's a lot of intrigue there. His performance on the field wasn't very good on tape. I think Robert Griffin, a rookie of the year, surprised he's out there. Tim Tebow takes the team to the playoffs. There's some surprise that he never came back. You know, Johnny Manziel, he's out there. Back to Kaepernick. You know, he got beat out by Gabbert to start the season. I think that says something. I am surprised he's not in camp with somebody. Probably will be soon. I think, you know what, I think with Mac is obviously we got to get him signed somehow, but he is a spectacular player. And I don't think he scratched the surface yet. I think if we could get an inside, a better inside pass rush, a more consistent inside rush, a dominant inside rusher, you'd see the best of this guy. Some of the plays that he's disrupted that he hasn't gotten credit for are you know, really exciting for us to think what could happen. So, Mario Edwards, if you're listening out there, if we can get that inside rush going, that's what Warren Sapp did for Simeon Rice. You know, it's tough for the quarterback to step up. And if the quarterback can't step up, these great pass rushers, they can have a feast. But Mac is certainly the centerpiece of our football team, and we'd like to get a better inside rush for him to even be better.
What did you say special about all these guys, all those coaches there? You can make lateral moves. You know, you've got to make a lateral move. Edgar Bennett actually sat back down with the wide receivers coach, also made a lateral move. I mean, what did you put in there?
Well, I put opportunity in there. You know, we feel we had a lot to offer. You know, I think going in at the ground level with the Oakland Raiders is exciting. And it's a great place to live. It's a great place to coach. It's a great tradition to be a part of. And you know, I think over the years, we've been able to assemble good coaching staffs. Guys have gotten opportunities to become head coaches. And I think they feel confident. And hopefully that's the case. How you guys doing? What's up, Adam? How you doing, man? Good to see you, brother. Doing all right? Yeah, good. Let's go see what a catch is.
Thoughts on Whitehead, your linebackers?
I like Whitehead. I studied him a lot over the last couple years. I love where he comes from. Matt Rule's a good friend of mine, head coach at Temple. I'd probably draft two or three Temple Owls every year if it was up to me. The Whitehead is he's a will linebacker. He's a Mike linebacker. He's a nickel linebacker. He never comes off the field. He hustles. He'll do what needs to be done. And very, very happy to get him. Very happy.
What would it mean to add Navarro into that mix?
Yeah, we'd like to get him back. Certainly. We'd like to get him back. We're not done trying to get people back. We're still shopping.
Yeah. Any progress there? I know his agent's here.
I don't have any to report. But I know Drew's here, and it's great to do business with Drew Rosenhaus again. We got Rashad Belvin, and to be back on the ledger with Rosenhaus is a great accomplishment for me. I love that. That's my guy.
John, the defensive pass interference limit, 15 yards, that proposal was withdrawn. But I wondered what your thoughts were, because I heard the argument that some coaches evidently made was that the pro defensive back always knows where the ball is and could abuse that rule, whereas that rule in college, most of the DBs in college couldn't be able to do that.
Yeah, I think, you know, I have mixed reviews on that, just like everybody else. I just think we got to clear up what is and what isn't pass interference. We have illegal contact that we're trying to clean up, pass interference, offensive pass interference. Is that being called enough? Some of the calls are very impactful. 46-yard penalties, 48-yard penalties. With all the back shoulder throws, sometimes the defender has no chance. I think it's a tough call to make. I'm glad they picked that rule up, personally. But I have mixed reviews on it.
John, on the catch rule, Bill Polian always talks about the unintended consequences. What are the unintended consequences of passing this catch rule there today?
Well, I don't know what an unintended consequence is.
Like, in other words, when you pass something, another problem arises that you didn't expect.
You know what I think of pass interference? I mean, the catch rule is, I think we have full-time officials, let them officiate the game. What we're using, I sat in the booth for 9 years watching super slow-motion replays. And it always looks like it's pass interference, and it always looks like it's a catch. Or it always looks like a drop. Or sometimes it really confuses matters. I think when you officiate a game at that speed, it's hard to say what is and what isn't. I just soon let the officials on the field call the game like they did when I was a kid, take the microphones off them.
Get a replay?
First down, you know? Let's just get on with the game. It's getting harder and harder, and I realize the stakes are getting higher and higher, but it's tough. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Dean Blandino was saying that there'll be more replays about...
I can't, you know, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm for letting the officials on the field that are at the game calling it, because they're the ones that have to take responsibility for it. That's their job. And I would like to see them get to do their job and get on with the game. Trust that their vantage point, their viewpoint, their preparation, their training is the best we can do. And to have all this technology determining games, I'm not a big fan of it, but I got more problems than that right now than worrying about stuff like this.
When you say you're not a big fan of it, is that a lot of it has to go with the flow of the game? And how
yeah, I do. You know, I did a game 1 year where we had a touchdown, and the fans are going crazy. No, wait. We got to take a look at this. And then it was a play again, and it was a touchdown. No, wait. We got to take a look at this. And I think it's tough sometimes on the fans. I think it's tough. You want to cheer. You want to boo. You want to yell. You got to wait. You got to see. You got to see what happens.
So you're not going to be the guy if they pass that rule with the video tablets on the sideline? You're not going to be that all game
long? Yeah, I'll have the video tablets. I'll have all that. I'm anxious to see how I handle it. It'll be fun.
While you guys were busy throughout free agency, there was one day in particular where I don't know who the guy was doing your physicals, but there must have been a line out the door with all the guys you guys signed that day. Do you remember the day? Early in the morning, late at night, you guys weren't done yet. What was that day like? That was probably the signature day of free agency in terms of bringing in a lot of the guys you had targeted.
Well, it was exciting. You know, we did a good job when we got a guy on site. For the most part, we signed him. We got him. You know, we were able to wow him. But you have to give him a physical. You know, obviously the medical part of things is a huge factor on whether or not the deal is struck. So the trainers, the doctors, they got to get their hands on these players. And I think it's uncomfortable. It's hard because you're waiting. And... you want to be with the guy, but that was a neat day. It's always neat when you get a free agent to sign.
What do you tell a player who's in your building or over dinner when you're interested in him, you believe he can make a difference, you believe he can contribute to what you're trying to restart here in Oakland? What do you tell a guy? Obviously, whatever you're saying is...
We put a lot of work into it. I mean, we might put together a video. We might show him how we're going to use them. And I try to convince them, if there's a better deal, take it. And I don't want to, I'm not going to beg you, but if you got a better deal out there than this, the one I just showed you, take it. Good luck to you. Congratulations. You know, you want to get, you want to be honest with these guys. You don't want these guys to sign up for your team and then have them come in and go, what the hell am I doing here? You know, you try to show them what the plan is. And specific plan. And then you try to reel them in. And you also encourage them to look elsewhere if it doesn't feel right. I ask them to interview us as much as us interviewing them. I want them to be totally comfortable with where we're going. Hey, how's it going? See you again, man.
Thanks, Jimmy. How about a Raiders Redskins Super Bowl?
Be great, wouldn't it? Yeah.
He said, that's okay as long as the Redskins come out on top.
Yep.
You wouldn't expect anything different from that.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah. Is there some feeling from your family, from you personally, about two of you being missing? I remember the days when he was cutting film up for you in Tampa.
Yeah.
And now here you are, peers.
I know. I was talking to Jason Garrett yesterday. Garrett was my quarterback in Tampa. We had Sean McVay, Jay Gruden, Kyle Shanahan sitting in there with us. We're watching film. Now they're all going to kick my ass. They're all trying to kick my ass. So it's, I'm like, man, you know, I got my hands full. I know that. I got a lot of doubters, I'm sure, but I'm going to do the best I can.
Where do you think the doubters come from?
I don't know. I'm just not really worried about that now. I can just keep my nose to the grindstone and worry about what I can control. And I'm just anxious to get back to California and get to work.
April 9th, you do get to see these guys. You get to stand up and deliver the message that you deliver. It's going to be part of – it's in-house. But I ask that – I say that asking you, what do you want to establish in your first chance in front of your team?
Yeah, I'm not going to have a long meeting here. I'm not going to say a whole lot. Obviously, April 9th, you know, we got to introduce Tom Shaw, our new strength coach. You know, we got a new program downstairs, totally different than what has been going on there. And we're only allowed to have them for 4 hours a day, so I'm not going to talk to them for 2 hours. I'm going to get them downstairs and really sell our strength and conditioning program. Tom Shaw is great. He's proven that. And I want him to go down there and lift and run and be together for 3 hours. And then I want him to come upstairs and do football for 1 hour that first week and get excited about being a Raider and learning our system and building some relationships. That's what it's all about, trust, you know, and relationships. And I don't have any relationships with anybody. And, you know, that's a challenge. But that's also, I think, the big reason I'm back. I'm looking forward to, you know, having our players and our team and our Raiders working together. That's what I'm saying.
4 hours.
4 hours. Not a second less. Not a second more. I mean, I'll have a 2-minute warning. 2 minutes left.
What did you mean in your introductory press conference when you said, I never really wanted to leave?
Oh, that's a special place. I grew up a Raider fan, and you know, we were doing pretty good. You know, it was exciting, man. We were doing pretty good. The place was exciting. So it's not like not like we lost to the Patriots and I wanted to get the hell out of here. You know, I was sent out of here. So, you know, it was tough. But
what did he tell you why?
Not really. Not really. I don't want to get into all that.
No, that's typical. That's typical.
I'm happy to be back. I'm happy to be back.
I wanted to ask you one other thing about you're known offensively, it's kind of been well documented in the past, by having this verbiage that's pretty lengthy and in some circles considered complicated. Are you going to do the same?
No, we're
changing that component.
You know, I think the system, the words, if you want to have a lot of formations, if you want to have shifts, if you want to have motions, if you want to have different protections and different patterns, you have to have different words. You can't call everything
red, green, or blue.
You can't. So we have changed our presentation. We have changed our terminology. There's becoming, I think, a more universal terminology in football because of the way college is being done. A lot of these kids don't even have playbooks in college. And in the NFL, there's becoming, I think, a more and more universal terminology. And I know that because I have guys from different teams on my staff. and I know what Derek's terminology was last year, so we are trying to streamline it. But at the same time, if you go ask Andy Reid or Sean Payton or Jay Gruden, some of these, Sean McVay, how to call the play, I mean, it's this is pro football, you know? And if you want to be diverse, if you want to land airplanes that are this big and this big, you got to have an airport to land them. And if you don't like it, you know, they'll fire me or trade me. I've seen that happen already.
On the topic of Tom Shaw, he was pretty comfortable in Orlando here. He had a great facility. You know, his family happy there, it seems. Didn't have to worry about anyone firing him. How are you able to bring one of the best back into the game? I know he's working with players, but in terms of a structured strength and conditioning NFL facility program?
That's a relationship that I've been, you know, had for a long time. And, you know, 6 years with the New England Patriots. You know, he's with Bobby Bowden in the glory years at Florida State. You know, he's with the New Orleans Saints. What I saw down there from him, the way he was handling young players, veteran players, Major League Baseball players, that's something I wanted. He was my number one hire. And that guy touches the whole roster all the time. And what I love about Shaw is I love the staff that he's put together. My son is one of his guys. We hired the first female strength coach that I know of. She's spectacular. Where do you meet her? DeAnthony Batiste is another power guy. We hired a guy that was the ex-strength coach of the New York Mets. So we have a real diverse group that can service kickers, punters, injured players, big guys, skinnier guys, fast guys. I love that. I love what we got going. I'm really proud of it. Anxious to see our players and how they respond to it. Yeah, I don't know about that big, but it was big. But you know, you don't want to say he was more important than anybody, but you know, nowadays the strength and conditioning staff, they're with your players more than you are. And to have his vast background of dealing with people and getting them to do something that's hard, you know, going out there and running and running and running and jumping and lifting, it's hard. It's really hard for some guys that don't like to do it. But to be able to motivate them and to be able to get results is a great skill to have on our team.
What was he before?
He was at the Wide World of Sports down in Orlando. Yeah, he is. He's a cool guy.
Yeah. John, talking to Dad, he says he gets nervous when Jay coaches. Sometimes he has to walk around the neighborhood. What's he going to do with both of you guys coaching?
That's why I stayed out of coaching, because I thought he was going to have a breakdown. You know, now that I'm back, I'm worried about my dad more than anybody. But yeah, neither one of us would be there without, you know, my dad, who was a heck of a assistant coach. And I still remember he was a running back coach at Notre Dame. You know, that's a big reason why we both got into coaching. You know, seeing Joe Montana and Vegas Ferguson and Jerome Evans, and that song, that Notre Dame fight song, I still listen to it, man.
How nervous does he get, though,
when
you guys?
He gets nervous. You know, you got your kid doing something, it's no different than a parent watching his son play, you know, or perform. Your son's in business. You take a look at the business, see how they're doing. He gets overworked. I will say that. My dad gets he gets a little uptight.
Johnny, you kind of come full circle with Donald Penn.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, I saw Donald last night.
Yeah. Can you just talk about his longevity and you know, what he brings as a left tackle still at his advanced age?
I remember we signed Donald Penn off the Vikings practice squad. And playing Carolina one day, I remember Luke Pettigrew got hurt. And I said, what the hell are we going to do now? We got to go with Donald Penn against Julius Peppers. And he actually did a great job.
Yeah.
And he's actually become a Pro Bowl left tackle. It's a credit to him. And out of Utah State, off the practice squad, to becoming a starter, to becoming a Pro Bowler, and to have a chance to be back with him is pretty cool. And we were laughing last night. It'll be quite an experience, because we're both at different stages of our lives.
Is he lobbying for some touchdowns with you?
No, not last night. We got to get him healthy. He broke his foot. Had a Liz Frank surgery. He's not healthy now. He won't be ready to go for a couple months, but that's the number one issue right now with Penn.
All right, guys. Wrap it up.
Huh? Yeah, no, thanks, man. Yeah, you give it a shot. You know, it's crazy how the game has changed. Sitting in these owners' meetings and listening to what the agendas are now as opposed to what they were then. It's
Who's the last owners' meeting you came to? 9 years ago?
Yeah. Well, you sit in the meetings, you know. You realize, you know, just chartering an airplane, getting to the games, it's $4.5 million. Just to get to the games, you know, what did it cost that in 2009? Man, player safety is a big deal. Collective bargaining agreement, huge. You better understand it, whether you like it or not. You better understand it. And coaches are all different. I remember we got that coaching photo. I kept them all. You know, every year we cross guys off, then I cross myself off. But now with the new group of guys and. I just love football. That's the only reason I'm back. I mean, I love it. So,
hey, John, what do you think a guy like Mike Vrabel, first-time coach, is going to discover about that particular job?
Yeah, I think Vrabel's going to be fine. I think his pedigree is really good. You know, I was talking to him yesterday. They had a meeting for all the new coaches. Okay. And I sat in because I feel like I'm new too. So me and Vrabel are sitting there, and he's going to be fine. You know, his upbringing with Belichick and Romeo Crennel and Coach O'Brien is going to fast track him. He's a difference maker on the grass. I think he's going to learn all the peripheral things quickly. He'll be a quick study, and he'll be a heck of a head coach.
When you think back to your experience the first time as a first-time coach, what stands out as like the biggest lesson or the biggest moment of the truth?
Well, this is a lot bigger now. Remember when we had the owners' meetings, there, we sit at this table, there'd be maybe one guy. You know, now there's all kind of media. So you got to be really conscious of the social media now. There's so many venues, so many avenues to get information.
Are you going to tour again?
I don't think so. I think I'm gonna hold out of Twitter. You know, I tell you what's really cool though is just listening to Jeffrey Lurie. They had a forum with the owners, really the final four owners, and the content that you can provide on your website for your fans, and they count the number of hits that they get. You know, you wanna give your fans something that they can't get. But the social media, the whole world of Facebook and Twitter and instant access, it's critical for young fans. That's what they want. So we got to figure out some creative ways to reel some of our silver and black Raider Nation in.